I'm Alan Lytle, 91.3 WUKY News. There's been a lot of media coverage lately about Lexington's relatively new community paramedicine program. That's an initiative undertaken by the Lexington Fire Department and the UK College of Social Work with the goal of saving citizens, local government, and private insurers thousands of dollars by reducing the number of ambulance runs for frequent callers to 911. Just last week, Mayor Linda Gorton acknowledged the importance of keeping the program going in the face of tight budget times. We'll hear from one of the architects of the Community Paramedicine Program in this edition of Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine. Dr. Allison Gibson is an assistant professor in the UK College of Social Work.
So the community paramedicine program was initiated pretty recently in the Lexington Fire Department. It started just February of 2018, so it's just been going a little bit over a year at this point. It was initially grant funded through one of the National Fire Organizations, and so it just kind of renewed some funding streams locally to be able to continue on. We just got some funding to be able to bring on a social worker. We'll be full-time starting with them this month. And then we also have a team member from the police department in Lexington as well that's also collaborating with them. So it's very kind of an interdisciplinary model in responding to folks that are kind of high utilizers of 911. So folks that maybe are repeatedly calling 911 because they have high kind of chronic needs, or sometimes occasionally it's also kind of misuse of 911. And so they are able to kind of connect with these folks and chat, learn a little bit more about them and figure out other ways to maybe intervene. A lot of times these are folks who maybe have fallen through the cracks of our healthcare system, or they may lack awareness around what kinds of other resources are out there, or they may just have really complex, high priority kinds of needs. And so the team is able to give them a little bit more one-on-one attention to kind of help to alleviate whatever it may be going on for them.
Well, I just think of my own emergency department experience when I was an undergrad here as a nursing assistant and then as a medical student and then spent a lot of time in the ER as an intern. And I know there was a term sometimes used pejoratively, sometimes affectionately. I'm sure you remember frequent flyer, that type of thing. And yet, even as a, even though I was a very ignorant young medical student, I could see fairly quickly that oftentimes these folks felt like they had nowhere else to turn.
Yes. Yeah. So there are folks out there who primarily use hospital services, other types of emergency services as kind of almost like a primary care approach to treatment because that may be the place that they know they can go where they can get their needs met. They won't be turned away because maybe they lack things like insurance or access or transportation. So yes, frequent flyers sometimes I think gets grouped in with some of the folks that are seen through community paramedicine, but it is broader than that. I can think of a case we recently went out and met with a woman who's was a long-term caregiver for her husband with Parkinson's disease. That same day, we may have a call to respond to somebody with an overdose with something like the synthetic marijuana that seems to be taking the city by storm, Serenity. They may be responding to that individual and kind of talking with them about maybe rehabilitation options. Or it could be an individual that's experiencing homelessness that needs some assistance in getting kind of transitioned into some more kind of long-term shelter needs. Yeah.
Well, and of course, Kentucky struggles with many people not having insurance, which I think sort of is inextricably bound with what you just mentioned about some folks not knowing where else to turn. Has there been a significant impact since the Affordable Care Act went in as far as decreasing or attempting to decrease overutilization of emergency departments?
You know, I think that that information is still a bit mixed in terms of, I think we have seen some areas where there's been a lot of progress, but I think there's also still a number of challenges that come along with that. In the sense of folks, even, you know, if your biggest issue is lack of access or transportation, you're going to utilize whatever resource you can get to. And whether that's, you know, physically by bus or by foot. But for other folks, that may be your needs may extend well beyond the typical 9-to-5 time frame of a lot of these doctor's offices or clinics. So I think the jury's still out on that in terms of what we've seen in reduction of maybe accessible use or excessive use of these services. But I think that we're starting to see some trends that suggest that there could be some really positive movement in the direction that we're hoping to see, right? So
I'm speaking today with Dr. Alison Gibson of the UK College of Social Work about the Community Paramedicine Program, a joint effort between the UK College of Social Work and the Lexington Fire Department. And you've already seen with this particular program, you've seen some markedly decreased use of,
yes,
of emergency 911 and of emergency departments.
Yes, and I do think that is something we are able to speak to. So I actually pulled those numbers for us for today. So this past year, we saw a decrease in our ambulance runs by 1.7%, which doesn't sound like a very big number at all.
But when you're talking about an absolute number of so many thousands of runs.
Yes, and when we also consider the fact that over the last 5 years, we've been growing at about 8% a year, I say, you know, seeing that go in the opposite direction is a win big time, especially if that's something that we're able to kind of maintain and continue to see over the next few years. I mean, if you think about how much it costs just to even purchase an ambulance to staff and supply the resources for an ambulance, to be able to save the city from purchasing another ambulance and having to staff, I mean, I think we can see that that is definitely cost savings. And so we're hoping to see that number even grow further, especially now that we've got the interdisciplinary team lined up. But I guess only time will tell, right?
Sure, absolutely. Well, anything we haven't touched upon that you would want our listeners to know about the program?
Yeah, so it's something that I also think is really fantastic and phenomenal about this program is some of the outreach that the team has done too in some of their off time. So, and I don't mean off in the sense of, but when we maybe don't have somebody that's in urgent need that needs to be seen, they've done a lot of outreach too, especially really vulnerable populations, populations that I think tend to often be ignored within our community, just in the sense of maybe because it's very stigmatized or it's kind of unknown about how to maybe like get your foot in the door with some of these populations. So for example, I know the team has been doing a lot of outreach with Natalie's Sisters, which is primarily serves women in our community that have been exploited sexually. Sometimes another term I'll hear about some of these folks is like sex work kind of activities. And so our team has done a lot to kind of get in there, build relationships with folks, have them be able to get to know them so that if they do end up in a situation where they need some kind of emergency services or maybe the police become involved, they have already an ally that they know that they're connected with, that's familiar with their story, that can also kind of step in and assist. So something I've been really impressed with them is it's not only kind of the reaction, but they're also doing a lot to kind of, you know, branch out, network with folks, build these relationships on the front ends, you know, with the homeless population over at the Hope Center. They're doing a lot to kind of be ready for maybe even future needs as well, which I think is a really innovative kind of thing. It doesn't seem like it would be, but I don't think there's a lot of organizations that think that way and are taking steps in that direction. So
in preventative care.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And even just, again, with populations that I think tend to be rather invisible or very stigmatized within our society. So I'm very excited about the work that they're doing in that way and eager to see, again, where they go in the next 2-3 years when we can look back and see even more progress that their work is making. So,
my thanks today to Dr. Alison Gibson of the UK College of Social Work for talking with us about the Community Paramedicine Program. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time to cover important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org. And for information on becoming an underwriter, contact Gail Bennett at 257-7049.